Okay, we'll go to the bottom of the daf again. Chav Beis Amad Aleph on the bottom, Amar of Popo. So again, the whole shock of attire we had last week in the Gemara was as far as being Perea Choyv from Yisoymim. Whether you can be Perea the Choyv from the Yisoymim. And the Mishnah seemed to imply that you could, because the Mishnah went through the whole process of how you Perea Choyv from Yisoymim, how you have to announce it, and the whole process. And Rav Papa comes and he says that we do not collect money from Yisoymim because they are not B'nai Mevid Mitzvah. Omer Rav Papa, Prius Baal Choyv Mitzvah. Paying back a Baal Choyv is a Mitzvah. V'yasmi Lav B'nai Mevid Mitzvah Ninu. They are not Chayiv to do Mitzvahs. And since they're not Chayiv to do Mitzvahs, we don't collect money from them. Rav Huna Bereda Rav Yeshua Omar. He says, there's a different reason why we don't collect money from Yisoymim. Eimo tzoro at fasei. Perhaps the father left a mashkin, collateralized loan, and therefore that's the reason why we don't collect. My benayu ka benayu kishechayiv moide. If the malva, the loiva was moide to the malva that he owes him the money before he died, so now we don't have a question of whether there was a mashkin. Inami shamtu meis bishamte. Bezin put him into cherem for not paying the loan, and he died that way while in cherem, which would prove that he didn't pay back the loan. Sholchu mitam. They paskin like Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. The shamtuhu meis bishimte. That if the guy died while he was in cherem, proving that he didn't pay the loan back, so then we collect the money from the Yisoymim. V'hilchaso k'ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua. So it seems to be a two-track approach how to learn why we don't collect money from Yisoymim. One is we don't collect money from Yisoymim because there's no koyach to collect from them. The whole koyach to collect the loan is that there's a mitzvah, priest bal choyv mitzvah, and the Yisoymim are not b'nei mevid mitzvah. They don't have a mitzvah to pay back the loan. So you're left without any energy. You can't collect it because the energy that you normally have to collect the loan is the mitzvah. The Yisoymim don't have the mitzvah. That's one approach. That's Rav Papa's approach. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua says, no, it's an administrative process. Bezin doesn't collect money from Yisoymim because they're concerned. Be'emes, Bezin has the same koich to collect money from Yisoymim, Ketanim, like they do from Gedolim. They really would be able to collect a loan from anybody. The reason why Bezin doesn't collect is because there's a chash that's already paid back. So we want to make sure that it's not paid back, there's no collateral. We want to wait for the assignment to grow older and we can delve into it. Very superficially, how would we learn this machlokes? Machlokes is whether there's a shibut. If you learn shibut d'oraisa, right? So then that would mean that the property is collateralized. So then it's not relevant of whether the Yisoymim are B'nai Mevid Mitzvah. They're not B'nai. Who cares if they're B'nai Mevid Mitzvah? I mean, I'll give you a very simple example. If Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and now Reuven sells the property to Levi, okay? So now, what's the halacha? Shimon goes and collects the field from Levi. Does Levi have a mitzvah to pay back Reuven's debt? Of course not. He's an innocent buyer. Right? So what's the pshat? But we still go to Levi. We go to Levi. Levi bought the property, and he's now stuck with the lien that the property represents. So who cares that the Yisoymim are B'nai Mevid Mitzvah Ninu? So they have no mitzvah. Why are they worse than a third party? They're not less than a third party. You could beat the issue up more, and you could say that over here they should be B'nai Mevid Mitzvah because they yashin the money. So it's like we find the Ketanim Achayiv B'nai Chanukah Sha'afin Hoyu Boisi Anes, right? Sometimes the circumstances forces us to bring the cotton in. So here, the cotton shouldn't really be able to hide behind the fact that he's a cotton because he yashin the Nechosin. He yashin the property of the father that was Meshubit. But Memela. But the cotton is definitely no worse than stam a guy in the street who bought the property, who has no mitzvah, no mitzvah at all to pay back the debt of Reuven. But if Levi bought a property from Reuven, and Reuven went and took a loan from Shimon, so Levi is stuck with those consequences. Those are built-in consequences that he's stuck with. So it should be the same thing over here. So the only way, again, on a superficial way to learn, is to say Rav Papa holds there's no such thing as Shibud HaDaraisa. Rav Papa holds inherently there's really only what we call a Shibud HaGuf. There are those who learn that way. There are Meroyim who learn that way. When there's only a Shibud HaGuf, what that really means is that really the property is not Meshubit. And if Reuven borrows money from Shimon, so Reuven personally is obligated to pay. Nothing falls onto the property. The Rabbanon came in and the Rabbanon created what we call a Shibud. But Midaraisa, there's nothing. Midaraisa, if Reuven borrows money from Shimon, none of the property has any lien to pay back that Choyv. Which would mean then, that if Yorshim garshin the property, they also shouldn't have to pay it back. Midaraisa. Shouldn't have to pay it back because there's no Shibud on the property. There's only a Shibud Aguf. So that would be a very simplistic way to learn. Rav Papa holds that there's no Shibud, and therefore, since the Yisoyimim are not b'nei Mevid Mitzvah, they have no mitzvah to pay back the loan. So there's no way to take the money from them until they become Gedolim. And even when they become Gedolim, you have to analyze how we're taking the money from them. And Rav Huna holds that there is a Shibud HaDaraisa. So there is a Shibud Chal on the property. And now, who cares that they Yisoyimim Ketanim? I'm not going to them. They're just a third party that happens to be holding the property. It's not relevant. Not relevant who's holding the property. That's pashut. The big problem with all of this is that many of the Rishonim learn that Rav Papa holds Shibud HaDaraisa. And that was the sugya we brought down here on Kiddushin Yud Gimel Amud Beis. You have it there. Omar Rav Papa Hilchaso Milval Peh Goivim in Hayorshim. The halacha is that a Milval Peh can collect, even an or alone can collect from the Yorshim. Why? Shibud Goivim in Hayorshim, Shibud HaDaraisa. So if Papa seems to learn that there's a Shibud HaDaraisa, so if Papa holds there's a Shibud HaDaraisa, who cares if the Yisayimim are B'nai Mevid Mitzvah? Who cares if the Yisayimim are B'nai Mevid Mitzvah, they're not B'nai Mevid Mitzvah? Makes no difference. There's a Shibud on the property.
Even if it's Darabon, there's still a question why they would be treated differently.
Well, that we find a lot of times that the Rabbanon by Yisayimim Ketanim, Okmu HaDaraisa. Right? They leave it by the Daraisa. So that wouldn't be so outlandish. On the Yisayimim. That wouldn't be such a problem. The problem we have is that the way Rav Papa doesn't say it's a kula on the Yisayimim. Rav Papa Nagamara he's not pulling out any Yisayimim cards. He's saying the reason why we don't collect from the Yisayimim is because they're not B'nai Mevid Mitzvah. He's making it halachic. And the problem is halachically, it shouldn't play a role whether they're Ketanim or not. It's a Pelah D'Kazach. Really a Pelah D'Kazach. Okay, so we'll get back to this. The Gemara now really just goes through, we'll go through the top Shach of Atayah, but really it's the same Shach of Atayah that goes throughout the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to make sense of our Mishnah. Because according to Rav Papa, there is never a case, except for Ksubas Isha, there's never a case where you're going to collect money from your Yisayimim. Because it's not a question that we don't believe that the loan is here, it's that they're not chayiv to pay. So how could our Mishnah say Yisayimim pay? So that's basically the Gemara's kasha. Tanan, Shuma Yisayimim Shloishim Yoyim, Vishuma Hekdash Shishim Yoyim. The Mishnah says that you have to evaluate the property and put it on auction for 30 days by Shum by Yisayimim. And Machrizim Baboyka Berev, you have to announce in the morning and evening. But Maya Skinen, Elaim Babal Choyva, if you're talking about Choyva Yisrael, we just finished saying you don't collect. You have papals, you don't collect from Yisayimim. Elaim Bal Choyva Vikichovim, Mitzayas. A guy doesn't listen to us. So we're not talking to a guy. The Mishnah is not addressing a guy. Elo Pshita Bal Choyva Yisrael. Talking about a Jew. So according to Rav Huna Bishlaim, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, who holds inherently, the Yorish does have to pay back the loan, just that we don't know if there was a mashkit. So Moki Lo B'Shachayiv Moed. Say it's talking about a case where the Chayiv is Moed. Elul Rav Papa Kasha. So Rav Papa says either Yibay Seim Ksuba B'Shem Chino, they made a special Takana. Yibay Seim Baal Chayiv Erich Rechavim. Ah, if he's a goy, what does he care about what Maseches Erichin says? Shekibel Olav Lodin B'Dina Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, he keep it of Lodim B'dinei Yisrael, so he should be linter Lua de Gadli. Let him wait fully. Let him keep Dinei Yisrael. Shekibel Azu, Velo Kibel Azu. He was makabel to do Dinei Yisrael, but he wasn't makabel to wait. That's the Gemara. Anyway, and this is pretty much the Sakh of Atayah, the Gemara is straight through. The Gemara asks from the Mishnah, different prices and Mishnayos that seem to say that you collect from Yisrael. And the answer is, we're talking about a case where it's a goy. According to Rav Huna, it's where the guy admitted. And according to Rav Papa, it's a goy. Aye, a goy. Who cares? He was makabel to do Dinei Yisrael. That's the Gemara. The main problem here is to get a handle to understand why, according to Rav Papa, you don't collect from Yisrael. And how does B'nai Mevin Mitzvah? So last week, we brought down also Reb Chaim, the Kisvei Agrach. Reb Chaim has a question. When you take a loan out, when you borrow money, why is it that you can't come back to the guy and say, according to Rav Papa, that is. According to Rav Papa, who says, paying back a loan is limited to Prius Baal Chayiv Mitzvah. Right? I mean, L'chayr, according to Rav Huna, if a guy was an Oinen, he was potter from a mitzvah for whatever reason, can't collect a loan. Because Rav Papa seems to say that in order to collect a loan, you have to go through the process of Prius Baal Chayiv Mitzvah. It's not that you owe me money, gabuch. First you have to say, you have a mitzvah to pay me. Now that you have a mitzvah to pay me, now I can get the money. That's why he says, a cotton is not chayv in mitzvahs. That's Rav Papa. Right. So Rav Chaim asks, why don't we say that if a guy takes out a loan for $1 million, he doesn't have to pay it back till he has $5 million? Because the halacha is that for a mitzvah, you don't have to spend more than a chemish nechasim. You only have to spend up to a fifth of your money. So anytime a guy borrows $1 million, you come back, you ask him to pay you back, he says, listen, when I have $5 million, then I'll talk to you. You know better than a lulav. The malva comes, he says, pay me. And he goes, Rabid, you know better than a lulav. You're a lulav. For a lulav, I don't have to spend more than a chemish nechasif. So you're a malva, you're like a lulav. According to Rav Papa, that you always have to come on to mitzvah. And if for whatever reason you have a ptur, that's the way our Gemara reads. For whatever reason you have a ptur from the mitzvah, you also have a ptur from paying him. So I can use the regular law. I don't have to go to Choshen Mishpat. I go to Or HaChaim. And Or HaChaim tells me that for any mitzvah that I see, you don't have to spend more than a chemish lechasav. Except for Chanukah, Pesuminis, or whatever. You don't have to spend more than a chemish lechasav. So that's it. Potter. That would be the svara. So Reb Chaim says, "Ein echanami." He says, "But by a prius baal chayiv, once you give the money, I brought in the Reb Chaim, I think, maybe I didn't. Once you give the money, he says, it's the other guy's money. It's not that you used your money. In other words, even according to Rav Papa, this is the way Reb Chaim sees it. It's complex. The way he sees it is like this." Rav Papa is saying, obviously it's a mitzvah. And if for whatever reason you're parted from mitzvah, so you don't have to pay back. You say him, no mitzvah, they don't have to pay back. But he says, as far as once you pay the money back, whose money did you use? It's not cool that you used your money. It's really you used his money. So in other words, I didn't use a chaymish more than a chaymish of my money. When you come to me and say, I owe you $1 million, and I say, well, I only have now 4.5 million, so now for me to pay you back is more than a chemish nechasov, right? That's not a taina, because the money that I give you is your money. But it's almost circular reasoning, because then, so why can't you take it from me without the mitzvah then? You got what I'm saying? In other words, it sounds like Reb Chaim is saying that really Prius Baal Chayiv is more than just a mitzvah. Reb Chaim is asking, if it's only a mitzvah, if that's all it is, so it should be bound by the limitation of a mitzvah. If a mitzvah is only till Chaymish Lechasov, So you should only have to spend the chaimish to chasav to pay back the loan. So Chaim is saying, well, it's different because once you pay the loan back, so now that money is really his money. Right, right. It's almost like as I pay him, it's his money. Right? But how does that happen? L'chayra, the explanation, like I said, the only explanation, Prius Balchayv Mitzvah, is that really there's no shibud on the money, and therefore it's only a mitzvah. This is sort of what Reb Chaim is doing, he's making a shtickel on dreigenes. He's taking a little bit of the shibud d'oraisa type of logic, and he's taking the Prius Balchayv Mitzvah, and he's making a mule here, right? He's taking the two, and he's making a new bria, and he's saying, even though right now there's no shibud on you to pay the money. There's only a mitzvah. But once you give it, then it turns into a shibud nechasim. That's what you have to say, according to Reb Chaim. Now, if you look, no, this was a Kabbalah. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi says it was a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and then it was reestablished in Usha. Shakhum was reestablished in Usha. We learn out of Aser Hasrenu Lach. That just means you're allowed to give more. You're not mechuyif. If you have a lot of money, it still applies. Okay, so if you look. What do you mean? My mitzvah is to take a lulav. That's my mitzvah. And the lulav cost $1,000. And I only have $2,000. The mitzvah is to take the lulav. Is the mitzvah to buy the lulav? The mitzvah is to buy the lulav. So now, and the lulav cost $1,000. So my mitzvah now is to buy a lulav for $1,000. The Torah says, but there's a dover chitzen that you never have to spend more than a fifth of money for a mitzvah. That overrides it, except for pesum nisa, for whatever reason. We don't find that there was a separate takana by chayvus. The only logic to say that there was a separate svara by chayvus, the Gemara doesn't say anywhere there's a separate. It's not found in the Gemara.
It's very logical. Your mitzvah is to give back what he gave.
My mitzvah is to buy this lulav. That's the mitzvah. Buy it.
If you don't have
my mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. Buy it. Sit in the sukkah. Every mitzvah is that way. My mitzvah is to take this Jew into my home. I don't have to spend more than chaimish lochasa for that either. Take him into the house. Kisira oni v'chisisai, right? If you see a poor, you have to put on clothing on him. But if it's more than chaimish lochasa, no. These are all. Then Rav Papa, our problem is that Rav Papa equates it. The problem is that in our sugya, Rav Papa seems to say, Prius Balchayv is like any mitzvah. That's what he seems to say. If Rav Papa didn't do that, we wouldn't have a problem. But Rav Papa seems to say, Rabbi Sai, Prius Balchayv is a mitzvah. That's all it is. And if there's no mitzvah, then you don't have to do it. You established it. You took it upon yourself. Those are all issues we have with Rav Papa. But the bottom line is Rav Papa says, Prius Balchayv mitzvah. But our Gemara is after the loan is due. Our Gemara is the loan is already due. And now you want to go, now you're going to his estate. But I'm telling you, so that's fine. That's Rav Huna's opinion. But if Papa says, you can't go to the estate. Even though I have my money here, it's ready. The loan is overdue 10 years. I want to collect my money. Rav Papa says, you can't go. Why? Because the one who's holding this money now is a Yosem. And he's a Kotten. And he doesn't have a mitzvah to pay you. And the only way for you to access the money, it's like a password. The only way for you to access the money is you have to get the mitzvah first. And they don't have the mitzvah to pay. So if Papa seems to be saying, you don't have access to the property independently of the mitzvah. That's the problem we have. If Papa didn't say it, we could say you're a svara too. There's a marit that says like you. There's a Marit in Makis that says that alone until it's due, there's no Shibud Nechasim. And once it's due, there is a Shibud Nechasim. It's also a possibility. But the fact is that the Rav Papa seems to say otherwise. That's the problem. So the Bala Moya in Bava Basra says that the Sugyan Ksubas, I guess, the Yolam saw, the Tosfos that I brought down, he says clearly we're talking about where there is Achrayas Nechasim. This is Tosfos and Ksubas. Tosfos and Ksubas on Peifov Amad Aleph says, B'di'ik Achrayas Nechasim Ayri. We're talking about where there is Achrayas Nechasim. He says, Da'alo itma milsa de Rav Papa be'erichin. On that, Rav Papa said an erichin. On that case, he said that the Yisemim don't have to pay. Fa'afilu ochi ein ifroi minichse Yisemim ktanim, de'lav b'nei mevid mitzvah ninu. That's what he says. So Tosfos makes it very clear. Don't make a mistake to think we're talking about where there's no nechasim, there's no kakos. There is kakos. And even so, we say they don't have to pay. Now again, there are some Rishonim who learned that although Rav Papa and Kiddushin, the sugya that we just saw on Yud Gimel on the base, says, Milval Peh, Goivim and Ayoshim, because Shibudu Deraisa, he himself doesn't hold that way. But most of the Rishonim hold simplistically that Rav Papa does hold that way. The way it reads, the way the sugya reads, the Rif says that, the Rosh, that he does hold Shibudu Deraisa. And that makes it very complex to understand this. Then there's all kinds of other side issues. They ask, why doesn't the katan have to pay back the loan, even if it's only a mitzvah, als chinuch? There's the Gemara saying, they don't have to pay because they're ketanim. But ketanim have to do mitzvahs als chinuch. So why don't they... So that's what the Maasei Choshev says. The Maasei Choshev in his tshuvas, he says that from here you have a riot that Bezdin doesn't have to be mechanach them. They yisayim him. So the mitzvah of chinuch is off. It's not on them. It's only on the father. But it comes out according to him, interestingly, that Loyalenu, if you had a yosim here, where the mother died, father and mother divorce, mother dies, the yoshim now yarshim property from the mother, and the father is present. And the mother had a choiv, then the father would have to be mechanach his children to pay the choiv back. That's what would come out according to him. In other words, he learns Einachanami. If there would be somebody to be mechanach the kid, then there would be a mitzvah. See, I would say it's not such a kasha, the whole kasha is not such a kasha, because we're only mechanach a kid to do something that right now the mitzvah is being done the way it's supposed to be done. Remember we had that at the beginning of the Masechta. So you could say that anything which requires haknah, we're not mechanach a katan because that's goofy. He's not in the parish of doing it bedas. So we're not mechanachim in that way to go in. So since Dine Momenus, there's a din that a cotton, in other words, when he gets older, he's also going to be mechanach his children. That a cotton, when it comes to monetary things, is not chayiv. So it's part of the process. But that's his question. So the Bala Moir, the Yad Rama in Bava Basra, makes a distinction. He has this problem that we're asking. What do you mean? There's a Shibud Nechasim. Rav Papa holds Shibudu Deraisa. So he makes the following distinction. He holds that Rav Papa is talking about where there's only Milval Peh. But if it would be Bishtar, he says, then even Rav Papa would agree that you could go to the Yisayim. And that's what he says here. He says, Ikal amandoma ein iskokim kidiisa be'erichin, ein iskokim nichse Yisayimim. He says, Aval hani mili b'milval peh. He says, that's only by a milva bal peh. Aval b'milva b'shtar in his kokim. So the Yad Rama wants the mechadish. Our Gemara doesn't say that. And clearly the pashtus is that you don't go to nichse yisemen, even if it was b'shtar. But he uses my question. He says, how could it be worse? How could the yisemen be worse than a third party? If a third party took this property, you would go to that third party and collect it. So the Yad Rama is bothered. How could the Yisayimim be worse than a third party? The third party is also not chayiv to pay back the chayiv. Right? The third party is not chayiv to pay back the loan. Yet the halacha is that it's meshubit midaraisa to the third party. So why can't you go? That's his kasha. So he says, Avul b'muva b'shtarin is koken. The ilaman the omar prius balchayv mitzvah the yas malabene mevid mitzvah ninu hani milvi b'peh. Says the Baal Yad Ramah, that's only by milvah al peh. The memeila come a shabbat misha mitzvah. Avul b'muva b'shtardi yushib nafshei afil gabi yas minami mishtardi. It's very interesting. It's very unclear why that should be. L'chayr, if there's a shibud nechasim, there's a shibud nechasim. And he's agreeing that there's a shibud nechasim. So there's a shibud nechasim by a milvah bal peh, and there's a shibud nechasim by a milvah bishtar. Both cases, the property is mishibud. But he's making this distinction that when it's a milvah bal peh, so then you don't go to the yisayim ketanim until they get older. When it's a milvah bishtar, then you can even go to them when they're ketanim. Very strange. I mean, there's a sheep. There's anyway. There's a sheep in the chas. Why should it make any difference if it's a milvah bal peh or milvah bishtar? Well, Tosfos says that a halva is not called a milvah bishtar. Right? That was the whole Tosfos. Tosfos milvah aksuvah b'teir is only something that's not seichel. Remember, we had that Tosfos. Rashi says, Hinshol Chot Tzedek, right? Prius Balchoy Mitzvah. That's how Rashi teaches. Rashi says, the reason why there's a mitzvah to pay back is because Hinshol Chot Tzedek. No. That's the mitzvah of Choyov. That's the Rashi and Ksubis. So this is the Baal HaMoyah. So according to Yad Ramah, we have an approach which still needs clarity, but at least there's some kind of an approach. The approach is that our Gemara is limited only to Milvah Peh, even though there is a Shibud Nechasim. See, I wouldn't have a problem to say that Milvah Peh is no Shibud Nechasim, but he's not saying that. He's saying Milvah Peh, there is a Shibud Nechasim. And Milvah Bishtar, there's also a Shibud Nechasim. But Milvah Bishtar type of Shibud doesn't matter if the party has a mitzvah or not. Mashenke Milvah Peh, now I have another problem. If I would be learning like the Yad Ramah, why does the Gemara need to say? The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that if Shibud is deraisa, then you're technically midaraisa, you should be able to collect any loan from any purchaser without a shtar. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says, if you hold Shibud deraisa, technically if I borrow $1,000, all my properties are meshubet to pay that $1,000 back, even if it was an oral halvor, there was no shtar. And if I sell my property, it should also be a mishum. The Gemara says, Takonas Hashuk. Takonas Hashuk, Chachomim took it away. The Chachomim said that even though you should be able to collect, the Chachomim said don't collect, because nobody will buy property, because they'll be afraid that the property will be taken away. Yeah. So, from the Gemara's mashma, that if you hold Shibud HaDaraisa, there's no difference between a milvah bal peh and a milvah bishtar, and if you hold Shibud HaLav HaDaraisa, there's no difference between a milvah peh and a milvah bishtar. It was a separate takana, kadesh otinol delos pifnei lovin. So basically, if you hold shibud deraisa, there's no difference between a milvah bal peh, milvah bishtar. It's all the same. It's meshubit. And if you hold that shibud is lav deraisa, then nothing is meshubit with deraisa. Not milvah bal peh, not milvah bishtar. And the Yad Ramah is like slicing it. And he's saying, they're both meshubit, but it's a different type of shibud. And milvah peh, the yorshim don't have to pay till they become chayv in mitzvahs. And milvah bishtar, they do. So it's very fuzzy, at best. Now the Osam Meach deals with a very interesting shaila, which touches upon our sugi as well. There's a concept in Shas of Moicher Shtar and then Moichel. Right? Moicher Shtar v'chaveroi, and then Choyzer v'mochloi. So you go and you go ahead and you sell your Shtar. Selling your Shtar you could do. Basically what you're doing is selling the loan. So basically Reuven goes and he sells his Shtar. He sells a Shtar. Reuven has a Shtar from Shimon that Shimon owes him $100. So he takes the Shtar, Reuven takes the Shtar, and he sells it to Levi. So now Levi could collect the money that's owed to him. Now he goes and he's Moichel Shim. He tells Shimon, you'll forget, you don't owe me the money. So logic would dictate that that's nothing. You sold it already, you can't be Moichel it. You can be Moichel alone that you have a Schus Gvir. But the halacha is, it works. It works. There's a whole shayla in the Rishonim. The guy who bought the shtar will be able to come back to you and try to get the money back for the shtar. That's a side issue. That's a separate dinter. There's a new dinter rolling in between you and the guy who you bought the shtar from. But it works. So the Osameach brings down the Tumim here. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look it up. It's a lengthy Osameach. But how does that work? What's the mechanism? So the Tumim says a very interesting thing. And I think this is critical to understand our sugya. The Tumim says, this every loan, even if you hold it as a shibud deraisa, right? There are two things happening. That means if you hold shibud as lav deraisa, there's only one thing happening. Shibud aguf. Shibud aguf. When I borrow $1,000, I become meshubud to pay you $1,000. At anything that's at my disposal. But it's me. It's chal on me, not on my property. And therefore, if my property is not around at the time of the Peron, so you have nothing to go to. You can only keep on coming to me. You have a shibud on me. Some Rishonim hold, you can tell me to get a job. You have a shibud on me. If I'm sitting at home, I'm in my hammock, and I owe you $1,000, some Rishonim hold, you could take me to Bezdin and force me to get a job to pay you, because I'm a shibud to you. Some Rishonim hold, no, there's no such shibud. The Libnei Yisrael Avodim, Avodayim v'loy Avodim l'Avodim, is a tshuva sarosh like that. But that's all you got. If there's a shibud nechosim, then it means now your property is mishubit. Right? So simply you learn it's two tracks. Shibud aguf, one thing is you're responsible. Another thing is there's an independent thing that's chal on your property. Comes the tumim, and the tumim says no. The shibud nechosim is riding on the shibud aguf. There's no independent shibud nechosim. The shibud nechosim is continuously energized by the shibud aguf. So you can't go to somebody's property without being able to go to him. You have a shibud aguf on him, and that causes a continuous shibud nechosim on the property. And it's true. It almost looks like that shibud nechosim has its own independent life. It's growing on its own because you sold the property to a third party and I can collect it from them, even though they have no shibud aguf. But the reason why I can collect it from them is because your shibud aguf is still here. And your shibud aguf is energizing the shibud nechosim. And if the shibud aguf gets plugged out, everything falls out. The shibud nechosim will also fall out. Says the Tumim that the only thing that you could sell is the Koyach HaGviyah. I could sell a Shibud Nechasim. I can't sell Shibud Aguf. Shibud Aguf is like a mitzvah Shibud Aguf. It's not transferable. So if Ruvain borrows money from Shimon, only Ruvain is the Eved Loiv Lishmal. Ruvain could never change that there's another party now that Shimon is Meshubud Aguf to. Can't do that. What he could do is he could sell the rights of collection to another party. So what he does basically is, when he sells a shtar chayv, is he takes a document, he says, listen, there's a guy out there that has a shibud aguf to me, and because of that shibud aguf, his property is meshubit. Here's a shtar, now you can collect it if you'd like. Right? But when I am moichel him, I'm moichel the shibud aguf, which I couldn't even sell. And mainly you can't collect. That's how the Tumim understands how does this whole thing work of how does that work? And the concept is that there's a shibud aguf that's needed in order to have the shibud nechas. Obviously the opinion who says that that's not the case, obviously disagrees with that. And holds no. Shibud nechasim is one thing. It's a lien on a piece of property. It's not riding on anything. So I want to suggest that could be the machlokes between Rav Pop and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yishuv. The different machlokes. The machlokes is whether the And this would also explain, there's a sugi, just I'll tell you one other sugi, there's a sugi in Pesachim. The sugi in Pesachim has a discussion. If somebody has a shibud on chometz, let's say a goy has a shibud on a Jew's chometz, or a Jew has a shibud on a goy's chometz, comes after Pesach, and the Jew collects his chometz from the goy, the chometz that's meshubit. Is that chometz shol Yisroel shavol of a Pesach? You follow? In other words, the chometz was indebted to me, I could have collected it. There was a shibud on it. But I didn't, it was by the goy. Then I went after Pesach and I collected it. Or the other way around. The goy comes and he collects chometz that was a Jew's. So the Gemara has a shaila, bal choiv, mikanu labo goyve, olam afreya goyve. Machlekes abai v'rovim. What is that? What's the machlekes? This is in the second parak in Pesach. What's the machlekes? Machlekes is, I think this is the machlekes. In other words, if you learn that there's a shibud nechasim independent of a shibud aguf, so it comes out that even before I go to you and I use you to collect your nechasim, I have a relationship with the nechasim. Independent of you. I have a relationship with your nechasim. So when I go, although administratively, right, that's the way it works, is I go to Beis Din and I send the hazmona to Din, I say, Jay owes me $1,000. And now Beis Din, we both go to Beis Din. And then Beis Din goes and gives me the right to collect your property. Although we went through that process, so Lamari Ayin, it looks like I went to Jay and then I went to the property, but that's not really what happens. What really happens is I have a right to that property. And I'm really, my issue is I'm taking that. The only thing is there's a process. The process is I take him to Beis Din and then I go to the property. But the property is mine. Memela, when I collect the property was mine already from the time that it was Meshuvah. When the goy comes and he takes the chometz, so it will be chometz shel akum. The other way around. If a Jew goes to the goy and he collects the chometz, so now it's going to come out. Although the Jew went through the process after Pesach, so it looks like this wasn't chometz shel akum Pesach, but it really was. Because what's the machlekes? I believe this is the machlekes. If my relationship is with the property directly, so then I'm not going to you. It's irrelevant the date that I went to you and got to your property. Because I have a direct relationship with the property. And that relationship was standing from the beginning. Mashenken, if you learn that I can only, like the Tumim is saying, there's a Shibud Aguf, and I'm really using you to get to your property. So then it would come out that it's not the Mekanu Labo. You go over from here on, not Lamafre, not retroactively. That's, I think, is the Chiluk. Yeah, but that would be good. See, that's a different issue. The Gemara in Pesachim has that shaila also. Whether the Goyrim Lamam and Kamam and Dami. So that's a good point. But I'm just saying, and that's a separate shaila. But I'm saying when the Gemara brings down this shaila of Lamafreya who Goyrim, or Mikano Labo who Goyrim, that's not a Pesach shaila. In other words, the Gemara, one approach we have is that shaila. Goyrim Lamam. Goyrim Lamam, enough ownership, is the Shibud enough ownership or not to make Chometz over Pesach? But then there's another issue. The Gemara then discusses a Chosh Mishpat Shaila. And that is, whenever a Baal Chayv is Goyva, not a Pesachim Shaila. All over. Do we look at it that he's being Goyva Mikanu Labo? Or do we look at it like he's Goyva Lamafreya? So I'm saying, what's the lumdus behind that Machlekes? So I'm saying the lumdus behind that Machlekes would be, whether when I'm Goyva, am I using you? Because I'm using you, so the fact is I came to you on this and this date, and I used you to get to your property. So you can't tell me I have the property from a month ago, because that's all I'm saying. So that's, I believe, now we can understand that's the machlekes of Papa and Vunamir. So if Papa comes and he says, it's true, you have a right to the property, 100%. But Rav Papa says, but that shibud is only going through, that shibud nechasim is only going through a shibud aguf. So it's true. This answers Reb Chaim's kasha. Reb Chaim is asking, what do you mean? I'm a vazvaz al yivazvaz. The Prius Baal Chayv Mitzvah just says, that triggers a Shibud Aguf. And The Prius Baal Chayiv Mitzvah is what triggers the Shibud Aguf. And that's what's continuously energizing the Shibud Nechasim. Now, if you pull that out, you can't go to the Nechasim. That's Rav Papa Shita. And that's Rav Papa holds that since the Yasmi Alav B'nei Mevid Mitzvah Ninu, so it's like the Shibud Aguf is on hold. The Shibud Aguf now is on hold. Because we don't have a goof here to connect the Shibud to. So long that the Yarshim Agdolim, and then they're going to have take over the Shibud Aguf that the father had, then ain't a chanami. Then we'll be able to go to the Nechosin. But right now we're in a vacuum. Right now what we're attempting to do is go straight to Nechosin without having a Shibud Aguf. And that we can't do. That's our Papa's fault. What? What do you mean? That's takanas Yisaimim. That's time. It's like Bezin sees that the property Yisaimim is getting ruined. So now they intervene, not else choshem mishpot. Now it's save the orphans. It's a different campaign. We're saving the orphans. The property is getting lost. We're going to the Yisaimim. That's a promise. That's not this. That's not a mitzvah. Has nothing to do with Prius Baal Chayiv. That's an independent thing. So, I would touch up that. Now, this also, you could say, connects to what we discussed. I think this really clarifies the whole parasha. I think it will also clarify, we have another term. It will also connect to what we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, when we discussed the Shaila of, if you remember, we discussed the Shaila if you have a piece of property in a vacuum. Remember, where you can't go to the owner. You guys remember that case? You have two Yosef ben Shimons. We have the Sugin Bukharis, right? You have two Yosef ben Shimons. The halacha is that you can't collect from either one. The way it used to work, there were no last names. Two Yosef ben Shimons, you can't collect. So you're left with a shtar that you can't collect. So the halacha is you're stuck. Yeah? Now what happens if the two Yosef ben Shimons go and buy a property together? Remember we had that shaila. It's a Gemara. Two Yosef and Shimon's go and buy the property together. So the Gemara discusses this in Bechiris, Taf Mem Ches. What do you do with the property? And the Gemara says, Machlekes. The Gemara says, one opinion says, collect. Now you could go to the property and take 50% of that property because you know that 50% of that property is yours. Right? You have a $10,000 loan here. There's a piece of property, a $20,000 piece of property, belongs to two Yosef ben Shimons. One of them is your loifer. You don't know which one it is. But you could go. Rava says, no. Nichsei devarina shinan arvinle. If I can't go to you, I can't go to the property. What's the machlekes? This is the machlekes. The machlekes is, do I have an independent relationship with the property? If I have an independent relationship with the property, it doesn't matter if I could go to the guy. So it's true, the two Yosef ben Shimons could play games with me. But I don't care. Because as long as I have a property that I know for sure I can go to, it's irrelevant. That is the machlekes. Actually, we go to Shita Sai with Rav Huna. That's the machlekes. The machlekes is, do you have a separate bialus on the property? If you have a separate bialus on the property. Now, using this logic, I would say that's pshat in the Baal HaMoyah. Comes the Baal HaMoyah and he says like this. And now the Baal HaMoyah is beautiful, the pshat in the Baal HaMoyah. Baal HaMoyah says like this. It's true that if you hold Shibud HaDoraisa, it doesn't really make a difference if you have a milvah b'shtar, a document, or you have an oral loan. Either way, it's meshubit. It doesn't make a difference. But says the Baal HaMoyah, there is a difference. We know by a shtar is a din edov b'chasum of zochen loy, which means that a shtar is a kinyan. So when I sign a shtar, besides for the fact that the shtar is a raya, that you owe me $100. When you sign that shtar, you're being makna to me. You're being mezaka me in a shibud. So the Baal HaMoyah says, the Agrama says, that is like I have a shtar on the field. In other words, when I lend somebody money and he writes a shtar to me about that halva, that same document that testifies that there was a loan is a document that acts as a transactional document. And therefore, says the Baal HaMoyah, says the Yad Ramah, therefore, we don't care now that the Yesemim Aktanim, because their father had a transaction with this individual. And the transaction allows him to go straight to the property. That's the pshat. The transaction allows him to go straight to the property. That's what the Yad Ramah means. The Yad Ramah is saying that since there was a document here from the father, and there's a din of Edo of Bachasum of Zochenloi, so that is an independent life. And that's probably what he means. Remember we said it's like a little French. The Yad Ramah's Lashon here, he says, Hani mili mivar peh, the memela come a Shabbat. The milval peh, the shibud happens by itself. Right? He says, Avul milva bishtar, the iu shibud navshay. That's different. So what's the difference? What's the difference if the shibud happens by itself? Well, the shibud happens through the shtar. But the way we're learning, it's very simple. If the shibud happens by itself, then it's riding on the shibud aguf. And if we don't have a shibud aguf, we don't have a shibud nechasim. But if the father wrote a document, and by doing that, he gave the guy a kinyan to his nechasim, now the guy's going straight to the property. That we don't need a mitzvah. That's precisely what he's saying. We don't need a mitzvah. So when he uses the terminology, shibud de memela versus shibud that you mishabud nafshe, the way I would type that is, shibud de memela is a shibud which is riding on the shibud aguf, and a shibud nafshe means I made a kinyan with you. Now this is your schus. So now even though, who cares the ketanim? You're not coming to them anymore. You're going straight to the property. Okay, we'll stop here.